Welcome to the Positive Disciple Podcast, where we interact and learn how to be and make disciples in our normal everyday rhythm of life by obeying Jesus and practicing the positive habits that he modeled and taught. Listen, learn, and practice.
Hey, welcome back to Positive Disciple Podcast. I'm so glad again to be coming your way with this particular episode. And we really have been trusting God for, you know, opportunities to identify people that he has been working in. We have been, you know, working with several people that Jesus has called to follow him. And it's always a pleasure to bring to you people who are hearing that call to discipleship. And I have one of such guests in the studio with me today. And he will introduce himself and where he's from and what he's doing. So tell us a little bit about yourself, your name, and your background. Which campus did you go to, and so on?
Okay, thank you so much, sir. My name is Gerald Musyoki Paul from Machakos County. I went to Laikipia University. I took education, arts, English, and literature as my course. Just to give a brief outline of what Jesus has made me and how discipleship has changed my life.
Yes.
Before I took discipleship, I was very different. I just had a religious mentality. I didn't know that discipleship is total commitment and pouring my life into the leadership of the Holy Spirit and becoming exactly like Jesus Christ. I was a church goer. I was a leader in the church, but I had not really known the person of Jesus Christ for myself. So discipleship has really changed my mentality on how to know Jesus by myself and how to live the life that God wants me to live.
A couple of years ago, 2018 to be precise, we began a journey together. You and I began a journey together where we went through a process which we call follow. But
yes,
basically,
sir,
it's just learning how to follow Jesus. Can you share with our listeners some of the things you learned along that journey of following Jesus? What are some of the things that stood out for you as we interacted and related on this whole issue of being an obedient follower who lets Jesus lead?
Okay, one of the things that stood out for me is that discipleship is more of relationships, mm-hmm. building relationships with people, making them understand that there is more into a religion, that even our lives matter to them. Looking at the welfare of these people, being with them, walking with them, and pouring your life unto these people. So that through our character and through our life, people can see the person of Christ in us and learn from us.
Okay, so it is not just hearing about Christ. They begin to see the marks and the values of Christ lived out through a human being.
Yeah, lived throughout and also doing.
Doing
the word.
Okay.
Not just hearing the word,
yeah,
but doing the
okay.
word.
Okay, yeah. Okay. Currently, you are based in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia. How is God moving in Addis? What's God doing by way of the Great Commission? How are people responding to the invitation, you know, to become obedient followers of Jesus?
Yeah, actually, when we began the first group, discipleship group in Addis, we had around 13 people. We were really interested that people were willing to learn discipleship. All of a sudden, people started withdrawing, and we had around 7 members.
Why were they withdrawing?
We don't know, actually. Maybe because of religious
okay.
issues.
Okay.
Yeah, we didn't actually know the root
yeah.
problems.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but we thank God, out of the 7 people, we continued praying, learning together.
Mm-hmm.
Meeting and learning follow
yes.
with these people.
Mm-hmm.
So these are the same people that we've now used to form other groups.
So those people that you took through the follow process, they learned to follow Jesus to a point now that they are starting their own groups.
Yes, sir.
Ah, so how many groups are being formed now in Ethiopia?
We have four groups right now. Two are very active.
Okay.
And two are not very active.
Okay.
So we devised a way into ensuring that all the groups are active. So initially we found that the groups were not formed on relationship basis. Mm-hmm. So we had to dismantle the groups to have groups meant
on pre-existing relationships.
Yeah, okay. On pre-existing
people
relationships.
Who are friends.
Yeah, people that know each other.
So, if I hear you correctly, Gerald, you are saying that disciple making functions best along pre-existing relationships.
Yes, sir.
Not lumping strangers together.
Yeah.
So it's about friends passing on the gospel to friends who are sharing also with friends and relatives and family, people they know.
Yeah.
That's amazing. My mind goes back to Bible times. When you read in the gospels, how many people got to hear the gospel? It was actually in households, like Zacchaeus' household. Jesus says salvation has come to this house. So, but he was relating, he initially began the relationship with one person, but eventually had access to a whole household. And I'm also thinking of somebody like Cornelius, who, when he was told to send for Peter, this in Acts chapter 10, Cornelius gathered his family, his relatives, and his friends to wait, and these Gentiles got to hear the gospel for the first time. So relationships are key. Relationships are critical. Am I hearing you say that? That's how the work in Ethiopia now is emerging, through friendships and relationships.
Yes, sir. You know, the seven people I talked about, we continue, despite the fact, you know, the first group didn't succeed. We didn't even complete follow. But we continued relationships, even without learning together.
Yeah.
We continued visiting together, meeting for coffee sessions, and from this now we had also to convince them that we had to ask, can we still go back to discipleship? What can we do? And they were really willing for us to form other groups and continue in discipleship.
You mentioned that you graduated from Laikipia University,
yes, sir.
a few years ago. How would you challenge young people, Christians, believers who are still on campus, you know, to cultivate a global perspective, seeing that you are living outside of your home country, you are living in a cross-cultural setting. Is there anything you'd like to say to young people who are wondering, you know, are they called to go global? Are they called into missions? What would you like to say to such people?
Actually, I want to challenge the young people we have that the life we have is not about academics. It's not about what education will give us, because education cannot satisfy the ultimate goal that God has put in our lives. And there is more into life than education. You know, education is what took me into Ethiopia, but I didn't know that God had a mission, a greater mission, than simply a certificate, than simply a job. Because I just went there for a job, I didn't know that God would tell me, okay, this is what you are supposed to do in this country. So there is more. And I just want to tell everyone, every young person, that, you know, many of us are thinking of finishing school, getting a certificate, getting a good job, getting cars, getting a good house, a good wife, and that's all. You know, and the Bible also asks us, what can it profit a man if he inherits the whole world and loses his soul? So it's very important as young people to know and even pray. If it means to pray and fast, we have to do it for us to know God's will and purpose for our life. It is the most important thing.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Wow. So you've raised a number of pertinent issues, one of which is the fact that young people need to seek God to know His will for their lives. That is it's not automatic. Following the greed or the expected greed now means G-R-I-D, not G-R-E-E-D, even though that also applies. But following the greed of the greed that has been set for most people's lives, it's like a matrix. You get born, you go to school, you clear campus, you marry, you have a job, you make money, you settle down, buy a car. It appears that what you are saying is you are throwing a spanner in the works where you are challenging young people now to actually pray and ask God what His will is for their lives. My question to you is it possible that God could lead a young person in a direction other than that which society has set.
Yeah, actually, I have had several issues, several conflicts with people, even resign, leave alone you completing school and getting into ministry and having conflicts with parents. We even have cases where the people resign the very jobs that they have to serve God.
Mm-hmm.
So it is very important. You know, money cannot satisfy us.
Mm.
Money is not cannot satisfy everything.
Tell that to a young person.
Money is not everything.
Yes.
So and even a good car, a good house, a good wife, the most beautiful wife, the most handsome man, that is not the end of it all.
Mm.
So the most important thing, as I said, and I will repeat, is God's will for our lives. Just ask God, what do you need me to do? Where do you want me to go? What exactly do you want me to do? Mm-hmm. At what time?
Mm-hmm.
When?
Mm-hmm.
And now when you receive answers to these questions, you will actually be fulfilling your purpose in life, which is greater than everything in this world.
Wow. So like you, who went to Ethiopia without really knowing the main reason why God was launching you there. You just went there in search of a job. You got a job. You are more or less settled there. And but you've discovered now that there is more to your being there than just having your needs met and having a job.
Yes, sir.
There is a kingdom agenda tied to your being there.
Yes, sir.
That is huge. Huge because a number of young people who may not be sensing a call to be missionaries can actually get a job outside the country in a place that is gospel needy.
Yes.
In a location, a country, a region, a people group where Jesus is not known. And they can go there actually as professionals. They can go there as people who are on further studies. They can go there as people, career people or business, use business as an entryway to access those people, people groups or communities who need to hear the gospel. Are there opportunities for the gospel to impact Ethiopia? What are the unreached people groups, communities? What's the situation, the social and the spiritual situation in Ethiopia that possibly young Kenyans can respond to as ambassadors of Jesus?
Actually, we have many opportunities for the gospel in Ethiopia. And even it came to a point that I was asking myself, should I resign my job into full-time ministry in Ethiopia?
Yeah.
Because it came to a point where I thought, this job is not really satisfying me.
Mm.
The job that took me from this country to another country, it is the same thing that I was asking myself. Should I resign and go to the field?
Because you are seeing needs.
Because I am seeing
opportunities
that,
for the gospel.
Yeah, I find it better when we are able to solve the needs of the people rather than gratifying the desires of our hearts only.
Mm.
Yeah. So there are many opportunities. There are so many people in this country. There are disheartened people, people that have been neglected, sick people. Poverty levels is also very high in this country. And these are the same people that if they will get the gospel of Christ, these are people that will change the world.
True.
Because I believe that when we preach to poor people,
mm-hmm.
they will be in a better position to change the world than the rich people that are still held by their possessions and people that think everything they needed for
money,
life, they already made it in life.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was in Addis with you a few weeks ago, and we had some meetings with several people. I remember one of the people I interacted with is a young man who is taking the gospel to the Afar people. The Afar in northeastern Ethiopia, some of them spill over the border into, I think, Djibouti. It's a tribe that is 100% Muslim. So Ethiopia has several unreached people groups, the Somali, you know, the Oromo. These are all communities where the gospel has not been sufficiently made available. Are there, maybe in closing, ways that you can ask Kenyans to pray for their northern neighbors so that the multitudes in Ethiopia who've never heard the gospel will have a chance and an opportunity? What are some prayer needs you would like to share about Ethiopia and the work of the gospel in reaching the least reached peoples?
I would like to ask the entire nation of Kenya to pray for Ethiopia, especially because we do not have, I don't want to say the true gospel,
mm-hmm.
but we still have greater needs.
Okay.
Even in the ministry that we have,
mm-hmm.
even in the churches, we are seeing a lot of division in the church. We are seeing a lot of oppression in the country. We are seeing a lot of insecurity even in the country. And people really need to hear the gospel to change their own nation.
Mm.
So we would like to request everyone to pray that God will provide, and that Ethiopia would provide. We will have persons of peace,
mm-hmm.
that can help us. You know, if you are going, to another country, you need people that will help you to spread the gospel.
Mm.
So we would like to pray for emergence of persons of peace in that country, and also obedient disciples in that country.
Okay. Wow. All right. You've heard a clear call from Gerald about the needs in Ethiopia and the difference that discipleship and disciple making can make, as it has made to his life. What are we talking about when we say discipleship and disciple making? We're talking about an all-out obedient follower of Jesus, somebody who is committed to him, absolutely devoted, somebody who has made Jesus Lord and Master, not just Savior, not just somebody they visit once a week in a building called a church building, but somebody who determines and directs and dictates literally every area of their lives because they have willingly surrendered to him. I'd like to thank you, Gerald, for being part of the Positive Disciple podcast, this particular episode. And as you travel back to Ethiopia, take our love and regards to the brethren there.
Mm-hmm.
We will be praying for Ethiopia.
Thank you, sir.
And thank you again for being part of the show.
Thank you so much.
Okay. All right. So we've come to the end of this episode, and I look forward to connecting with you again next time. Remember to share so that many more young people can connect with this life of being disciples who make disciples.
We hope you have been equipped in positive discipleship. Stay tuned for our next podcast and be sure to leave us a comment on what you are learning and doing to follow Jesus and make disciples wherever you are.